this morning. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here to worship with us today. Disappointment and break every chain. All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in vain. I will crush disappointment. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's a God of breakthrough and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's a God of the breakthrough and anything is possible. Is possible.
Amen. Amen. Anything is possible with our Lord. Amen. Amen. So thankful there's no mountain too tall. There's no situation too big that God cannot handle. Amen. So let's welcome God's presence. I believe he's already here this morning, but let's just, if you're facing a mountain this morning, if you're facing an impossibility, you're facing a struggle, maybe just a situation in your family, let's just offer that up to the Lord this morning and know that he is here, know that he cares about us and he can handle us and help us through any situation. Amen. Let's go together. Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Lord, that there is nothing impossible for you, Lord. That you are a God of miracles. You're a God that heals. You're a God that saves. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for our freedoms. Lord, that we can come to you and worship you together this morning. God, I pray that you would meet every need this morning, God, as we pour out our praise and our love to you. Lord, I pray that you would just let us feel your presence. Let us draw closer to you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. Whoa. I don't even know what that was. But we are glad that you are here. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this wonderful weather. Amen. Amen. How many of you, fall is your favorite? Amen. All right. Yeah. Football, flannel, deer season, baby. Yeah. Come on. No, we are glad that you're here. Hopefully everything is well with you. And we just want to say thank you for being here with us to worship this morning. If you are a guest, we definitely want to say thank you for being here. And if you would do us a favor, you can find, there's a pocket in the seat there in front of you, a card you can fill out. Just lets us know that you're here. You can drop that off in the sound booth or in the offering here as it passes here in just a little bit. But let's give our guests a hand this morning.
Amen. Thank you for being here.
Want to continue to say thank you. We just wrapped up our fall missions convention and had some wonderful missionaries, Pastor. And it was great to hear what God's doing around the world. Want to just encourage you and thank you. Through our faith promises, we have pledged, or you guys have pledged, $2,617 per month. And if you have not got a chance to fill out a pledge, or maybe you were gone, there's more of those you can pick up in the sound booth back there and fill that out. But let's just believe and continue to give and believe that God's going to do great things around the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, fall is here, and that means Hallelujah Night is just around the corner. So we've got about, that'll be what, 4 weeks? Just under 4 weeks. And if you are not familiar with Hallelujah Night, it is a awesome ministry that we do here at the church for years now. I don't even know how many, it's been a long time since I've been here that I can remember. But we will transform this sanctuary into an awesome outreach where we have the community come in. They can play games. We give out tons and tons of candy. And that's where you guys can come in with both helping with the games and also helping bring in lots and lots of candy. This year it'll be on October 28th. That will be a Thursday. That coincides with the trick-or-treat downtown. It's usually from 4 to 6, and then from 6 to 8, we will have that outreach here. So if you could help us out, I don't know, I meant to look to see if the box was out there already, but it is out there. So if you could help us out, we prefer the Sam size bag, but if you can get us some candy, individually wrapped candy, that would be great. We give those out as prizes for the games. And also that Wednesday night before, that would be the 27th, we are going to dedicate that evening to setting up. We'll move all the chairs. We have all kinds of inflatables. We'll probably assign games and different things for you to volunteer and help for. So if you would help us out with that, be praying about that. I know that that is a tremendous outreach to our community each year. So definitely want to include you in that. Also, how many of you like steak? Anybody like steak? Come on now. We started a series this morning in Sunday school about animals of the Bible, and we didn't get too far into that because we were talking about our favorite domesticated animals, and for some reason, I was the only one that said beef. I don't know. I mean, I love steak, but if you, how many of you like good deals? Yeah, nobody likes to overpay for anything. What would you say if we could say $5 steak? I mean, you're not going to Cattleman's to get a $5 steak, are you? I mean, you can't even get a sweet tea at Cattleman's for $5. Life for the Lost is an awesome outreach that the Ministry of the Assemblies of God, and they do a steak dinner every year, and the church this year is actually normally $10 per steak. Actually, I think sometimes you can almost end up getting more if they have extra. They'll just bring you another one, I think. But This year, the church is going to pay half of that, so a $5 steak. If you want to go to that, make sure you get signed up for that. There will be a sign up in the foyer. Need to be signed up by 2 weeks from tonight, and that will be on October 25th. So get a good steak dinner and give to missions and have a good night of fellowship. Also, we want to remind you our Connect Group experiences next week will be at Moore Skate. Is that just Moore Skate Center? Yeah. We have actually rented out the entire space. So if you'd like to come and have a good time, maybe break a hip or a leg or a knee or something, or just have a good time, I'm sure there's other options there. I should have. Are there video games? I've never been to Moore Skate, so I'm putting you on the spot. So we are assuming as much. So at the very least, there will be a good time to spend together. So if you want to get signed up for that, let us know you're coming. You can actually pay at the door next week. It'll be $10 a person. So come be a part of our Connect Group experiences. Have you guys been enjoying those so far? Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, we Dame Park last week. That was a good turnout. Add some more hamburgers. That's where that beef comes in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for cows. All right. Good transition there. If we're going to ask our ushers to come this morning, we're going to receive this morning's tithes and offering. Amen. Amen. Just want to say thank you for your faithfulness and your giving and faithfulness to the Lord. And everything we do is worship to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing around the world. We thank you, Lord, that you will allow us to be a part of that in our giving, Lord. God, we ask you to bless this offering this morning, bless the giver, and bless our missionaries around the world as we help support your work in this world, Lord. And we just thank you for that. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. As offering bags pass, why don't you stand up, and we're going to go right back into worship.
Overcome.
pour it out, pour it out. Every stronghold will crumble. I hear the chains hit the ground. Oh God of revival, pour it out, pour it out. Come awaken your people. Come awaken this city. Oh God of revival.
Better shake
up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better.
Let us make room for you today. Let us make room in our hearts for you today. Jesus, we glorify your name. Jesus, you are so precious and so wonderful, God. And we just want to make room, Lord Jesus. We want to give you the honor that is due to you, God. And we want you to have your way in our lives, God. Every part of my life, Jesus. Every part of me, God. I want to give it all to you, Jesus.
Isn't he? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he marvelous and holy? Isn't he more than we could ever dream or imagine? And yet he meets us right where we're at. And this morning I want to bring before you a few needs that we want us to lift up. George's Graham's brother, Irvin Graham, passed away this past week. So we want to be praying for their family. The memorial service will be this week. I believe it's on Wednesday at 10. And so would you just be lifting the Graham family up in your prayers as the loss of a loved one. I want to continue to pray for Ansel Munden. He's in the rehab / nursing home center, and I'm sure he would appreciate a card or a call from you, but talk to him this week, and he was in good spirits. We just want to pray the Lord would continue to be with him. I want to pray for Robert Smith. He's here at church, but we want to pray for strength in his body. and in his mind, and just helping him. And I want to pray for Rhoda McCarty today, that the Lord would just touch her body and continue to give her strength, along with a long list of other needs that we've been praying for on Wednesday nights. And if you have a need this morning, would you just simply lift your hand and say, Lord, just signify that with the raising of hand, I have a need this morning I need you to meet. Amen. Amen. Lord, we come to you in these moments of prayer and dedication unto you. Lord, as we close out the singing and the worship, and as we enter into a time of your word, Lord, we take these few moments, Lord, to lift up the Graham family today. And Lord, as you comfort them and help them and in this time of loss, we pray also for Ansel today, that you would just continue to meet him right where he's at, encouragement and strength in his body and in his mind. We pray, Lord, for Robert Smith, strengthen his body today. We thank you for enabling him and helping him to get out of the hospital and be back with his family. And Lord, we pray right now for Rhoda McCarty. We pray for strength in her body, and Lord, help the doctors as they try to help her. And Lord, we pray for every hand that's lifted up today. We pray, Lord, right now that you know exactly the need of every unspoken need in this place. Lord, you're the healer. You're the deliverer. You're the redeemer. Lord, you are the one who can make a way where there is no other way. And so we put our trust and our faith in you, knowing and believing, Lord, that you are the answer. Lord, we thank you for these things, and we ask all of them in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Dealing with a dry throat, so I'm going to try to drink some water today, so that way I don't try to enunciate my words today. I'm struggling a little bit this morning, but we'll do our very best. Pastor is sends his greetings. He is at District Ministers Retreat in Branson, and so he told me he was going to go to Silver Dollar City at some point, and I told him to ride a roller coaster for me, and he said he wouldn't do it. So anyway, he like I said, sent his greetings this morning, and just be praying for Pastor and Miss Carol that they would just have a refreshing time. That's what the intent of District Ministers Retreat is, to get together with other ministers and just have a time of refreshing and renewal, and that's what we want for him. And so just be praying for Pastor as far as that goes. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to share with you a message this morning that really is, sometimes the Lord gives me a message, and it's kind of a message that is something new that he's brought to my heart. And then sometimes I preach messages like today, which are the product of probably a 2 or 3 year process of the Lord just kind of speaking to me and talking to me. And so there's a lot of some conversations the Lord and I've had challenging me, and I want to challenge all of us today with this message. And so I'm just going to launch right out. How many of you are addicted to Amazon? Come on, be honest. Come on. How many of you? Yes, yes. We were out at the state fair, and they were selling boxes for your Amazon boxes. So these were secure boxes that you could put in front of your house that had a code, so that the Amazon delivery driver could lock your, you know, because apparently, you know, people are stealing stuff off people's porches. So they were selling Amazon security boxes for your Amazon boxes. And it looked like sales were going good. So apparently Amazon addiction is an all-time high. But how many of you ever been looking to replace or buy something and your spouse says something like this? You will never find another one of those. Like there's no way you're going to find that. Like, and you go on the internet, and before long, there's just nothing greater than, you know, finding it and buying it and telling your spouse, you know what, it'll actually be here this week, you know. And they're like, and your wife's looking at you like, I didn't even know there was two of those ever. And, you know, I thought you were the only one that owned one of those widgets, right? But if you're looking for a widget, you can find it somewhere, something, right? It's unbelievable how easy and available the most random things have become. I mean, how many of you have done this? Maybe it's just me. How many have ever gone on the internet and just looked up things that you, just to see if, like, you could actually purchase them? You know what I mean? It's like, I just want to see if, like, yeah. Thank you for the four of you who are like me, all right? Yeah, we're weirdos. All right. I mean, from antique glassware to a new remote from your TV, just bought one of those. Thank you, Lily. And my wife said, you know, as soon as we buy this, we're going to find the remote. I'm not kidding. We bought it. That night, I found the remote. We're missing 4 weeks. Anyway, so from antique glassware to a new remote from your TV to a replacement spring for your weed eater, you can find everything online. No matter what you are seeking, everybody say seeking. No matter what you're seeking, you can usually find it. And my dream and desire for our church is that we would be in this way a little more like the internet, maybe a little bit more like Amazon, that we would be, and I'm going to use an expression that has caused a lot of turmoil within the church body, and I'm going to explain it today, that we would be a little bit more seeker friendly. Now stick with me today. Stick with me. The concept of a seeker-friendly church has taken on, in some cases, a negative connotation because of the extremes in which churches who called themselves seeker-friendly have gone to become seeker-friendly. And we're going to talk about that today. But this morning, I want to challenge our thinking and help us to realize that the success of being a seeker-friendly church lies in sticking to the principles. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 is a very popular verse. Most of us know it in the building today. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Here's what we know, that Jesus actually started the process of seeking. Jesus was a seeker. He was seeking after people who needed salvation. He was seeking after people who desperately were lost. Jesus was the greatest leader in all of mankind because he led by example. You know that to be a Christian means to be more Christ-like, to follow the example of Jesus. And so how do we do that? We do it simply by looking at what Jesus did and do it ourselves. Remember the popular bracelets, right? WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, I would tell you this morning that Jesus would be seeking. He would be seeking those. Jesus was a seeker, and so we must too be seekers. The church must be actively looking for those who are seeking and searching because they are lost for Jesus. Matter of fact, the Bible promises us this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The Bible actually promises us that if we will seek, it promises mankind that if they will seek, they will find Jesus. And can I tell you something today? The church is at the middle of that whole responsibility. Jesus promised mankind that if they would seek, they would find. And so I've got three questions for us today. Three questions that I want us to answer before we end this service today. And question number one is this. How many doors are open at our church? Now everybody's looking around going, no, the doors are open. We'll get to what I mean here in a minute. I read a story in the paper one day, and this really got me. This was right in the process in the last few years of the Lord talking to me about open doors within our church. I was reading a story about a family who lived in a single wide trailer. And sometime during the night, a fire had started in the trailer. And everybody was asleep, and so the fire had time to begin to burn and to begin to spread. And by the time the smoke had actually gotten into the bedrooms to wake up this family, the fire was going. It was going. And so there was no time to grab anything you'd want to save. There was no time to think about putting out the fire. It was way too big at that point. There was only time to get out. So the family gathered together in the hall. They had all the mom and this is what they believe happened. Gathered in the hall to try to escape. But what had happened was that the back door, they didn't use the back door. It was blocked with a lot of stuff, and it actually, the lock on it was inoperable. You couldn't open. The back door did not work. And so they discovered very quickly that wasn't going to work. And so the problem was that they went towards the front door, which was by the living room. That was unreachable because of the fire. That's where the fire had began, was in the living room. The fire department arrived and they did all that they could. But unfortunately in this story, the whole family passed away in this trailer. And here was the reason. Because they couldn't reach the one door to escape the fire. There was only one door to get out of the fire, and they couldn't reach it. In John 14:6, Jesus answered in this way, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." We know that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Amen? That's not what the world's telling people, right? The world's telling, hey, you can do this, you do that, be a good person, you know, do this, do that, whatever. But we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the only way to salvation. But my question to you today is this: but how many doors have we created to get to Jesus? How many doors have we created to get to Jesus? A seeker-friendly church, in my mind, is always in the pursuit of creating more doors for the lost to reach Jesus. Let me give you door number one. Might look like evangelism. We must create doors by actively telling people about Jesus. I would tell you it this way. The firefighter doesn't stand quietly outside. He yells the way of escape. A firefighter doesn't just stand there and go, hey, you probably should come out. The firefighter actively yells a way of escape. As the church, we must begin to create doors for seekers, for people looking for a way of escape of the life that they're living, the way that they're stuck, the chains that have bound them. We must be the kind of people who say, we as a church are going to create doors through evangelism to tell people that we know who is the way and the truth and the life. And you're not going to get saved except through him. We've got to be a church that creates doors to help people through recovery. We must create doors by being a hospital for the lost and the hurting. You see, the doctor doesn't stand still, but instead he bandages the wounds of the injured. We've got to be a church that creates doors to Jesus by finding the needs of the seeker, by finding people and recognizing that people are lost in their addictions. They're lost in the things that abound them. And we've got to create doors of recovery, because through recovery, people can find Jesus. We've got to create a door of benevolence. We must create doors by meeting the physical needs around us. We see in scripture that Jesus didn't just heal broken bodies, but he filled empty stomachs. We as a church, we create doors to Jesus simply by the heart and the love we express to people as we meet their very physical need. $50 worth of groceries, $20 worth of gas. Wait, sorry, new president. $40 worth of gas. Sorry. Y'all got spiritual on me all of a sudden. Y'all need to repent. I brought politics in. Y'all got more spiritual. All right. But grocery, gas, those things, sometimes we overlook those things. We think, oh, that, what does that make a difference? Because those $50 groceries is going to get eaten. That $40 worth of gas is going to be emptied in the tank before long. What is that? Because when you look at what Jesus did, when he fed the 5,000, do you think he really cared about fish and loaves? No, he cared about souls. But he knew that if they were their stomachs were full, their ears would be open. And that the fish and the loaves was simply just a door to the gospel. Are we creating doors within our church that we're seeker friendly? That know what, no matter what the need may be, that we have a door of escape for those who need Jesus. I've got more doors here for a minute, but I just want you to understand what I see in the church body today. I'm not talking about just our church. I'm talking about in the church world today is that we have too many churches building walls instead of doors. We've got to find a way that when, as the scripture says, they seek, that they find Jesus. The door of missions. We must create doors by expanding our vision worldwide. I think we do this one pretty good. That we empower the cause, that we encourage our people, and that we equip our missionaries. How many doors are we creating for the lost to be connected to Jesus? The door of worship. We must create doors by allowing worship to draw people's spirits in. God's presence is found in the midst of worship. The scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And so when Jeremy gets up here, or I get up here, or a pastor gets up here, and we talk about that God's presence is already in this place, it's not cliche. It's not just something that we check off to say. We firmly believe that as we worship the Lord, his presence is in the place, that God inhabits the praises of his people. Worship should stir our spirits. And so as we are a seeker-friendly church, as we're friendly to those who are seeking a solution, seeking the answer, and we already know who he is, his name is Jesus, as people are seeking that, we must encourage the door of worship that it might stir their spirit. Because when your spirit is stirred, your heart is open and your ears are attentive to what the conviction of the Holy Spirit may say to you. I would say to you today that in the midst of worship, God spoke to me just as powerful as in the midst of a message. But just like the door of worship, the door of preaching, we must create doors by proclaiming God's word. Listen to me very carefully. When anointing meets truth, I mean, there's a lot of falsehood that's being preached today. You ever listen to a message? I listened to a message one day. I think I've told you this before. I listened to a message one day. It was a 30, 40 minute message. And at the end of it, I leaned over to my wife and I said, did you notice anything? And she goes, he never used a scripture. I listened to a 30 to 40 minute message and the preacher, speaker, whatever we're going to call him right now, didn't use one reference from the Word of God. Not one. Now, I'm not talking about he didn't put it up on the screen. I'm talking about he didn't quote. He did not say one thing from the Bible. If I ever do that, I give you permission to line up here and talk to me about it, okay? When anointing meets truth, it draws the lost seeker to the Savior. Sometimes as speakers, we get up here and we worry about, well, what are we going to say and how are we going to say it? Even today, this week, I went over my message and I thought, because I want so desperately for this message to get across, because I want it to encourage us and to enthuse us to be of people who are fighting for those who are seeking. But I realized something, and that is this, that God's word never returns void. Now, our words do sometimes. You ever tried something? Parents, you ever talk to your kids, and it was like you just really felt like you really shared something, and at the end you thought, nope, didn't even make a dent. Didn't even make a dent there. Yeah. Sometimes we fall short, but God's word never does. All right, one more door. How about the door of this? Kids ministry, youth ministry, nursery, men's ministry, women's ministry, shut-in. Name any ministry we have in here within the church. Listen to me carefully. As the church, if we're going to be seeker-friendly, if we're going to be one who are friendly to those who are seeking after the gospel, then we must create doors that are familiar, that are kind, and that are intentional. We must create ministries that look familiar to people. Go, you know what? Those people look like me. They love Jesus. Maybe I can love Jesus. We got to create ministries that are kind and that they go over and beyond to meet the need of that particular group. I can't think of any other word than kind when it comes to shut-in ministry. The kindness of sitting on a couch or sitting next to the bed at a nursing home or whatever it may be, talking to a member of our church or a member of our community who otherwise would not have a visitor. And we literally, in those moments, as we do the music at the nursing home, what a kind ministry as we share the gospel. And intentional. It says to them, we care enough about you as an individual, where you're at in life, where you're at in age, where you're at in whatever, that we would create something to meet your need. I don't know about you, but in my Bible, Jesus went to the well. He went to the home of the tax collector. He went to where the sick congregated so that he could provide healing. We must be willing, listen to me if you haven't listened to anything else yet, we must be willing to meet people where they are physically, emotionally, and spiritually. How many doors are we as a church creating for those who are seeking an answer? The Bible promises that he will make a way of escape. And I believe he's doing it through his church. He's doing it through his church. He's saying, church, create ways for those who are seeking to find me. Create ways for those who are seeking to know who I am. Are we actively creating ways for people to escape their life of sin and to find the only one who could ever free them? Question number one is, how many doors are open at our church? Question number two, are we greeters? Or are we bouncers? Are we greeters or are we bouncers? I don't have much experience with bars or clubs. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I do know that the job of a bouncer is different than the job of a greeter. A greeter's job is to welcome and to make feel welcome anyone who comes to visit. We have them standing right out front. That's a little questionable having Lance out there. But just teasing Lance. But a bouncer's job is to guard the door and make sure no one enters unless they meet the requirements of the establishment. I would contend to you that the church loses so many people at the door, because people were looking for someone to welcome them, but found someone that was grating them. There's no judgment coming from me today. I want you to understand. Myself, I've grated people before. I've as a pastor, I've had people walk in the back door, and I immediately thought, I'm just confessing to you today. I immediately thought to myself, they're here for something. They want something from us. Maybe they just want Jesus. But that wasn't where I was at that day. It's I worry about this. I worry about this a lot. I want to challenge you with this thought. We don't go to heaven. We don't go to heaven because our good outweighs our bad. We have a lot of people who have a lot of bad going on in their life that come through the doors. But we don't go to heaven because our good outweighs our bad. We get to heaven because God's righteousness outweighs our sinfulness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Sometimes I have to quote to myself as I'm dealing with people, some pastor friends of mine and I, we have a saying for those that maybe are difficult than others. We call them EGRs. EGRs, that stands for extra grace required. Extra grace required. Sometimes when dealing with EGRs, I have to remind myself, oh, but for the grace of God, there go I. That none of us are any greater than anybody else that's not in this building today. And that all of us were in the position of someone or anyone that would come into this building at some point. Somebody opened a door for us. Somebody welcomed us in. Somebody greeted us and made us feel as if we were welcome to be able to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, seekers by nature are looking for solutions because they don't have the answers yet. If they had the answer, they wouldn't be seeking. Right? If I'd have found my remote, I would no longer have been seeking, and I would not have bought one off of Amazon. I would have been a finder. All right? That's what those are called. Let me put it this way. Nobody goes to the doctor when they feel well. Most of us men don't go even when we feel bad. Right? But nobody goes to the doctor. Nobody schedules a doctor's appointment, gets up there, the doctor rolls in and says, "Well, what can I help you with today?" "Absolutely nothing. I'm feeling terrific. Absolutely nothing's hurting right now." I mean, we already give up enough free copays as it is. That is not a good idea, my friends. Nobody goes to the doctor when they're not feeling well. They go when they're sick. They go because they're searching for an answer, a remedy to what they have. Can I tell you right now, the world, the lost, is seeking and searching for a remedy of what ails them. We must not stop the process of healing before it ever begins. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says this, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I wrote this verse down this week, and I thought to myself, I've always preached this verse to encourage believers. If you'll just continue to seek after the Lord and his righteousness, the Lord's going to add everything he's promised to you. He's going to add all these things unto you. But what if we looked at this from the perspective of the lost? What if we were to say to people, just seek Jesus first. Just seek first. If you'll just come in and you're just seeking for an answer, if you'll just seek first, well, then comes the repentance. Then comes healing. Then comes sanctification. Then comes restoration. Then comes reconciliation. What if we became a seeker-friendly church because we just became a friend to people who are seeking? That's all that means. To not only meet them where they are physically, emotionally, and spiritually, but to help carry them to where they need to be. Hello, evangelism. The broken doesn't need their injury pointed out. Trust me, they already know. If I broke my leg, you don't need to tell me I broke my leg. I know. The broken doesn't need their injury pointed out. They need someone to bandage it up and to start the healing process. Hello, discipleship. The people of our community are standing at the door. They're injured. They're broken. They're confused. They're lost. But most importantly, they're seeking. Will we welcome them in? Or will we bounce them out? And question number three this morning. Will we live, and I talked about this in the beginning of my message, will we live by principles or by preferences? Will we live by principles or by preferences? I cannot tell you how many times in times of prayer and in times of reading scripture, the Lord has just hammered home what I'm about to share with you. And so I'm really just pouring out of my heart today. And I would ask you just to be open to hear what I have to say. Really, this question of whether we'll live by principles or preferences is at the heart of the debate of being seeker-friendly. To be a healthy church, we have to know the difference between the two. You see, principles are God-given mandates for our lives. We've already discussed them, but I'm going to name them again. Evangelism is a principle. God has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's non-negotiable. It's a mandate from God. Evangelism, discipleship, go and make disciples. He's pretty clear about this. Discipleship is a principle. Missions, right? Samaria, and at the other ends of the ends of the earth, right? Worship is a principle. God, over and over in the scripture, talks about worshiping. Prayer is a principle. These are principles that are non-negotiable. If you go to a church, if you attend a church, and they excuse evangelism or discipleship or missions or worship, anything that's on this list, you need to leave. Principles are non-negotiable. Preferences are man-made ways to achieve principles in our lives. Preferences are not bad. Okay, everybody say, preferences are not bad. Right, preferences aren't bad. They are man-made ways to achieve the principles that God has put in our lives. Connect groups is just something that we, along with many other churches, have created, all right? And connect groups, discipleship and fellowship. Sunday school was created as a way to disciple, right? Yeah. Tuesday night, Tuesday prayer meeting. Tuesday. We pick Tuesday. We do it right down here. And Tuesday is a preference of when we've chosen to highlight intercessory prayer, which is a principle. Sunday morning worship. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday, whatever it may be, those are all created as the days to achieve the principle of worship. January's 21-day fast that Pastor and I always challenge you to begin the new year with. Fasting and praying is a principle. Doing it in January, preference. You could fast right now if you want. You can obviously tell I have not been. No judgment. Here's what I would like to explain to you. Principles are the destinations that God has for us. Principles are God wants us to get there. He wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be evangelists. He wants us to be missionaries, whether local or abroad. He wants us to be a worshiper. He wants us to be a prayer. So principles are the destination that God has for us. Preferences are the vehicles in which we choose to get there. Are you with me today? The key to being a God-honoring, seeker-friendly church is to align these truths correctly within the body. Sin doesn't lie in the questioning of preferences. Sin lies in the compromise of principles. I'm going to repeat that again because it's really important. Sin doesn't lie in the questioning of preferences. Well, should we do this on this night or that night? Should we do discipleship this way or this way? Should we do evangelism by doing this or that? Questioning how we do things, how we do, There's no sin in questioning what vehicle we use. There is sin in compromise of the principle of just not doing it. It's okay to question if connect groups or Sunday school is the right discipleship tool for our church, but it's never okay to get rid of discipleship. It's fine to question whether we do Christmas in the Hood, which is our outreach down in inner city, or some other outreach, but it's never okay to get rid of evangelism. It's fine to question missions trips or more mission support of our full-term missionaries, but it's never okay to stop supporting missions. The question that I challenge you to ask yourself the next time you're struggling with the decision in the church, how we do things or what we do, is, are we questioning a man-made preference or are we changing a God-mandated principle? There's a difference. The seeker-friendly church got itself in trouble because in the pursuit of reaching, not all seeker-friendly churches, let me go back. Some seeker-friendly churches and the seeker-friendly movement got itself in trouble because here's what happened. In the pursuit of opening more doors, as we talked about, for seekers to come in the pursuit of welcoming people in, they stopped just changing preferences and they started compromising principles. For fear that people would no longer come in if they didn't call sin, sin. For fear that, well, I don't know if anybody wants to be discipled. For fear that people would get offended if we asked them to give to missions. For fear of, are you with me today? When I talk about being seeker-friendly, what I'm saying is I want anybody who wants to know about Jesus to know about him. But I want to disciple them too. And I want them to love missions. And I want them to worship alongside of me. And I want them to feel the full rewards of prayer and fasting. I want them to do all those things. But what I don't want to do is I don't want, in the pursuit of getting them to those places, never let them get to the first step of seeking. I want them to be able to get in here and to be able to do those things. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on. As I ask you this, what would you be willing to sacrifice so someone else could hear and be reached by the gospel? Will you rock a baby in the nursery? Will you teach a class? Will you endure a lock-in? Well, come on now. That's a bad word in youth ministry. Will you give up your seat in the sanctuary? Would you lay aside your ministry position that you've had for years and years and years? Would you clean up after someone, even though you shouldn't have to? Would you look past their struggle? Would you spend your own money? Would you worship to an unfamiliar song? We had a new one today. And will you keep your eyes through all of that on the soul of the seeker? Realizing that in the midst of all that baggage, in the midst of all that struggle, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And when it comes down to it, what we're really talking about is souls. Jesus came to save souls. My deepest desire is that the lost will come here and find hope and love and acceptance and healing and restoration. That they'll find a door and that they'll be welcomed at it. Come on in. That they'll find a people of sacrifice, willing to do whatever it takes to see the lost be found. A body of believers so focused on the principles of God that they don't have time for the preferences of man. A body of believers following the example of their Savior, actively looking for those who are lost and providing a way to salvation. Would you bow your heads this morning? Lord, I just pray over every person in this room. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers that's called Noble Assembly of God. I thank you, Lord, there are so many wonderful people in this place. who have spent years and years loving on people, ministering to people, pouring out their life and sacrificing so much. And Lord, I know that nothing would honor their sacrifice and yours more than for us to be a seeker-friendly church seeking after those who are seeking after you. With everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed today, if there's someone in this place today, maybe you've come in here and you've come seeking. You've come, you said, you know what? I've been lost. I've been struggling. I've been bound. But today I want to be set free. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ today. Well, today is the day of salvation, my friend. And if that's you this morning, would you just simply raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I want to give my heart to the Lord. I want to begin that relationship. I'm just starting with the seeking. And now I want you, Lord, to begin to restore and to heal and to transform and to sanctify. I want you to begin the process in me. If that's you this morning, would you just simply raise your hand? There's no judgment to this. No, there's celebration, for that's what we're here for today. We're here that the lost would be found, that those who have been away from Jesus would come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, one more moment, would you just raise your hand? Amen. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for touching lives today. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for the ability to serve and worship you. Lord, I pray right now that we would be energized to serve you in a greater way. That we'd be energized to sacrifice. Lord, that we would be energized to seek those who are looking for a relationship with you. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to reach the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to receive communion today. I'm going to read to you the passage out of Mark chapter 14 as they come. And then as soon as I read it, I'm going to invite you to come and I'll give instructions to that. So Mark chapter 14, verse 22 through 24 says, "And now while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take it, this is my body, which was broken for you.' And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, 'This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many.'" Today, anybody who has a relationship with Jesus Christ is welcome to receive communion. What I'd like to ask you to do is to come and receive it, and then find a place, preferably around the altar, but if not, at least in your seat. And we won't have a formal where we all take it together. I just ask that you would pray, talk to the Lord, and then receive the elements. And as you do that today, the worship team is going to be singing. And let's just take these last few moments of the service today to just honor God. For without his sacrifice, everything else I talked about would be nothing. Because those that would be seeking would have nothing to find. But because Jesus came to die on a cross, those that seek can now find a Savior. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. So as the worship team sings, would you come receive communion, and then come to the altars and pray. Thank you.
This world can never satisfy. And hope is dry. When all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to your presence. I'm coming back to your presence.
Here, the Bible says, where two or more gathered in his name, there he is also. He's already here, and so God's in the room. Why not meet and talk with him? If you don't need prayer today, I'd encourage you to continue to pray and continue to pray for those who would come forward. And it's not even noon yet. Let's just stay in an attitude of worship for just the next few minutes. And as they sing, if you need prayer, I'd really love to pray with you today. The Lord would meet you and meet us right here and meet your need.
Not anymore, 'cause I need you.
Been that place where all you could say is, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Those places are sacred. The places where we get in life where we realize that all we need is Jesus. That we understand that we live in a world that's full of people that all they really need is just Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for the needs met today. I thank you for the hearts touched today. I pray and thank you for the hearts and spirits that were challenged today. Lord, help us that as you seek and save that which is lost, that we create doors, that those that seek will find you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed this afternoon. Tonight, Pastor Chad will be speaking to us. Welcome you back at 6 o'clock. Until then, don't eat too much at lunch. Amen.